Hello and welcome to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circles. So nice to see all of you here today. Welcome to Peace On, your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. And this is our Hope Story Circle. My name is Terry Mason. I'm on the board of the Peace Alliance. And I'm joined by Liz Gannon-Graydon, who is also on the board, and Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead and mindfulness expert. And they're both here to join in co-facilitating the session of the Hope Story Circle. And our special guest today is Susie Cantor. Susie, we're delighted to have you here. Thank you. Unmute yourself. I just want to say hello to you.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here. I never was in the position to share my story, and I really intend that it makes a difference for people and maybe it opens up a new insight in how I've navigated a pretty interesting life.
I'm sure that it will. I have every confidence. But before we get to this, into the main part of your story, I noticed that you're in the hospitality industry. And the hospitality industry has really been impacted this year with COVID, hasn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
It's shrinking and reinventing itself and hanging on by a thread, and a lot of passionate people.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, figuring out how to make it work.
Yeah, I'm sure that people like you will pull it through. It's really been a tough time in that industry. I think in particular, there's been many, but in that industry particularly. Mm-hmm. So I commend you for hanging on and making it, rethinking it, reimagining it, making it happen. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Well, before we get started with your story, I'm going to invite Yelena to lead us in a meditation, just for a short meditation to help us ground and come together. Yelena?
Hello, everyone. Welcome. Good morning. Good afternoon. So let's take some time to pause, to come back to this moment. And to do that, I invite you to find a way for your body to welcome itself, to welcome and to give permission. You cannot hear me. Can you hear me now? Louder? Okay. So just allowing your body to come into this moment. And if that means to just, you can lower your gaze or close your eyes. And find a way to get in touch with the earth, with the air, with your breath. And give yourself a warm welcome. Give yourself thank you. For allowing to be in this moment. And for the next few moments, the invitation is to really practice what it feels like to truly be grateful. Mm. Grateful for all. For moments that feel pleasant. For moments that feel mundane, for moments that feel challenging. Inviting yourself to appreciate all. All that make us human. When we practice gratitude, for everything, not leaving anything out, we can have some clear seeing. My invitation to you is to open, perhaps even with a gesture of opening hands.
Yelena, just a little bit louder, please.
Okay. Just my invitation is to really open, and if that even means to open your hands and accept and invite all the gifts that land there. Truly giving gratitude for being together across time, different spaces, different continents. It's truly magical to be in this moment on this earth. Right now with you all. And as you orient back to space and look at the screen, just soak in that there are 20, 30, one of us here. And can we allow this moment to give gratitude to that? Thank you all. Welcome, Susie. So grateful you're here.
Susie, welcome.
Thank you. Oh, shall I begin? Okay, great, thank you. And hello to, wow, people that I know, and thank you for being here, and people that I don't know, and thank you for arranging or rearranging your life to be here. And I hope that what I can share can make a difference for you. So I'm Susie Cantor. and I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, though I've lived in Seattle for the last 30 years. And I was so incredibly lucky to be born to a mom who all she ever wanted was to be a mom of six children. That was her dream in life. And lo and behold, she did it. And it's because she loved children so much. In fact, she just retired 2 years ago at age 85 after teaching preschool for her entire life on the side. So if you can imagine what my life was like being raised by a preschool teacher, and she still exudes that to this day, it was pretty magical. I mean, we were singing songs in the car every place that we went to my whole life. For every holiday, arts and crafts projects filled our kitchen table and then our walls, and there were skits and plays, and that was what my life was like. And I actually thought everyone was raised like that. It was pretty, you know, only to find out it was very rare. And then not only that, but I was lucky enough to have the dad that I did, who instilled in me that I was a winner and that I could do anything that I set my mind to. And that was incredibly empowering. And again, I didn't even know that people weren't raised like that. And so I just went about my life and thought it was all normal that, you know, I chose the college that I did and got jobs and paid for most of school, and then went to school for hotel and restaurant management and backpacked around Europe with my college boyfriend for 5 months, and then lived in Aspen as a ski bum for a winter, and then went to Hawaii and worked in a hotel and the best restaurant in town for experience in my major. And I kind of thought that was normal for people. And then I continued on that path and met my soon-to-be husband, business partner, and we opened restaurants and hotels and resorts all around the United States for companies and turn people on to the joy of service and doing their job just really exceptionally well. And it was a pretty charmed life, I would say. And just, I always was so aware of how incredible it was. And then in 1988, I was living in the mountains of Colorado. And so that in between jobs, I could ski. And I went to the Soviet Union at the time and ran in a peace marathon in Moscow. And with the World Runners, we were raising money for the Hunger Project. And when I came back from that trip, I was very, very surprised. I had just done a 2 mile run in the morning and went and swam at the fitness club that we were members of. And I could not get off the bench. I couldn't change into my clothes. I my body weighed 1,000 pounds. And I was sitting there and thinking, wow, this is quite a pickle. You know, and sent someone out and said, I think my husband's waiting for me. Can you tell him that I can't move? And about an hour later, it took me to get dressed and get going. And I said, I don't know what's going on, but I have this terrible cough and I'm like exhausted, and went to a couple doctors and they were mystified and suggested maybe I should take Prozac because it's probably depressing. And I said, no, it's not depressing. I'm just really tired and I don't know why. And I found out through that journey, which continued for 20 some years, that what I had was the Epstein-Barr virus. And you probably have heard of it. It's it contributes to chronic fatigue syndrome and lupus and fibromyalgia. And it's a mystery illness to most people. And what I found through that trip was that, you know, that there aren't always answers to everything, and that I was on a quest and on my own journey, and I started figuring out things that would work for me. I started figuring out that the food that I ate made a difference, and some of the things that I was allergic to, I stopped eating. And I found doctors who listened and were partners with me. And it was a crazy situation. I couldn't sleep. I didn't sleep for like 8 years. I slept intermittently. You know, I would go to bed at 8 o'clock at night and then not remember going to sleep until I woke up at 8 in the morning. I thought, did I sleep at all? And it was like walking jet lag in every moment. And I didn't answer the phone because I couldn't complete sentences. And I would get winded when I brushed my teeth. I'd brush my teeth and then I'd stop. And I couldn't stay awake in a car. I didn't drive, but when I was a passenger, I would go to sleep immediately in the car. And I couldn't walk in a store. I'd have to stop and rest. So my life was very small. And the whole time I just kept looking at, well, what's next? What's next? This is incredible. And when I started to build up my energy, I thought, okay, I think I have enough energy to get pregnant. And we worked on getting pregnant for a couple years, and it was kind of entertaining because we did the turkey baster method, the intrauterine insemination. That was kind of entertaining, but it didn't work. And one of the first lessons of chronic fatigue that was the luckiest thing that happened was that I couldn't get pregnant. And that led me to going to the other side of the world. And Ruby, I'm sorry, I have to cry. But my daughter is down below and got to adopt these two little beauties from Kazakhstan. And I would never, you know, have been able to do that had I become pregnant, you know. So lucky enough, I got to meet my girls who are now grown up. And Ruby is with us below. Ruby Cassidy is 22. I met her when she was 2 and a half and has grown into just a beautiful young woman with incredible character. And so I got to be a full-time mom for several years, just one of the best roles I ever had in my life. And my ex-husband and I lovingly and respectfully divorced, and I went back to working on my own. And then the next interesting thing happened, and that was I broke my wrist. It was the first bone that I broke in a series of, actually, I counted it up, 7 bones in 8 years. And I thought, okay, a broken wrist, what could that possibly, how could that possibly stop me for long? And the surgeon said in 6 weeks, I would be better than when I started. I had surgery, I had a plate put in, and my wrist is going to be stronger than before I broke it. Well, 6 weeks went by, 8 weeks went by, 10 weeks went by, and I couldn't even close my hand, and I couldn't use my arm at all. It was frozen. And I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to navigate this? I can't even type on the computer. How do I work in my business, the hospitality industry? You need 2 hands. You need to be able to walk. And one day, in the midst of, how is this going to work? How am I going to get through this? I had this incredible realization that this was not going the way the doctor said, but rather my wrist is going to heal at the rate it's going to heal. Now that doesn't sound very, you know, like mind blowing, but for me, a peace came upon me, and all of a sudden I could see, well, maybe I can do something else instead of just spending day after day being upset, worried, wondering how this is going to turn out. And I thought, I'm going to see another doctor. Maybe they have another idea about this. And lo and behold, the doctor said, well, maybe we should take the metal out. And I said, I think I might be allergic to it. So I indeed got the metal taken out. And I considered it a very lucky break, because I now had a new muscle for looking at dilemmas that I was in. And I applied it also to my relationship with my ex-husband. I thought, oh, he is the way he is because he is the way he is. That's the way he is. You know, so instead of me being upset about it or wanting him to be different, I just had a new peace in that. So I was so enamored with my discovery. I turned the plate from my wrist into a necklace, and it represents my lucky break. And so that I should remember that. So I wore that for quite some time. And then oddly enough, about a year and a half later, I stepped off a curb and I broke my shoulder and I broke my foot at the same time. I thought, oh my word, what the heck is going on here? Having never broke anything in my life. And just found out I had severe osteoporosis and didn't know it. And just continued forward and broke a few more bones along the way, and they healed, all of them healed, until 2016, when something quite unusual happened. And that was Ruby and I were on our first mother-daughter vacation ever, and we were skiing. And I fell, which is quite unusual for me, I must admit. I'm a pretty great skier. And I was surprised. And I was laying there on the snow thinking, wow, isn't this surprising? And not only that, but my boot didn't pop out of my ski when I fell, as it should. And I was continuing to tumble down the hill, and it was getting all twisted up. And I came to a stop, and I first thought, whoa. I guess I didn't get a choice, fall or no fall. My choice is, you probably broke some bones. So just choose to be here so you can see what's going to happen next. So I just laid there and breathed. And luckily, Ruby came up and the ski guide came up and helped us down and went to the hospital, and lo and behold, found out I broke both legs. One of them was a mild break and the other one was quite severe and required 5 surgeries. And I found myself in a wheelchair for 2 years. And you know, I guess the advantage was I got to quarantine way before it was fashionable for everyone else, and really learned how to just be by myself and beholden on other people. Couldn't go out unless someone came and picked me up in my wheelchair. And then, interestingly enough, my leg was not healing. And I went from a wheelchair to, I graduated to a walker. And that was a victory for me. And then from a walker, I graduated to 2 forearm crutches, you know, not the underarm kind, but the kind that grabs you around your upper wrist, your below your elbow. And I just didn't have my leg wouldn't hold me. It like didn't have the scaffolding. So in the meantime, I just applied everything I knew from my other lucky breaks. And I went to one physical therapist after another. I probably went to 12 of them, and went to a bunch of different body workers and acupuncturists and cranial sacral people and scar injection people and anything to continue to get more mobility, because I just was really determined not to live my life in that way. And you know, lucky enough, I have people in my life that are very loving and supportive. And I discovered funny movies helped me a lot. I stayed away from news and just surrounded myself with cheerful people and cheerful media. And I graduated from two crutches, I'm happy to say, to one crutch. And it's now 3.5 years later, and my right leg doesn't bend very much. It's filled with scar tissue. So I can't walk downstairs, you know, like this, but rather step, step, step. And I'm determined that that scar tissue will continue to dissolve, and I will recover all of my mobility. And my plan is to go back with Ruby and finish that run someday. And until then, I've gotten back to walking. And just this summer, I had a huge breakthrough. I found walking sticks and I walked 3 miles with the walking sticks. So that's where I am today. And I would say in our conversation last night, had a lucky, you know, conversation with Terry and Liz and Yelena, and really saw how originally these circumstances could really throw one for a loop, that I had some lucky breaks and could see the gifts in each of these situations that carried me through. And perhaps my sharing my story could have you see something in a new way in the future. So that's it. That's my story.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Susie.
You're welcome.
And I think that is the inquiry that we're going to send everyone out with. And that is just to say, when was a time when you had a lucky break, a tragedy that ended up being very positive for you because of how you looked at it and how you embraced it? So think about your own lucky breaks. So as we go into the breakout rooms, our rules are, simple rules are, to listen with your heart, to speak with your heart, to say just enough, and to trust that you will know what to say. Don't think too much ahead of time. And if you don't feel inspired to speak, provide the gift of listening. And that's fine. And when we come back to the big room, keep confidentiality. We'd love to hear from people, but if there were things that were shared that were private, keep confidentiality when we come back together. So I'm going to pause the recording at this time. All right, we're back. It's nice to see everyone again. So the inquiry was all about lucky breaks. Who wants to share? You can unmute yourself, Kate.
Good morning, all. It's always good to hold space with everybody here and see all of your beautiful faces. Just very quickly, my group was beautiful. My group was just wonderful souls, of course, no surprise. But the big takeaway right before we broke out was just the gift of resilience. The gift of resilience when we're given difficult times. You know, the three of us all had massive obstacles that we have overcome that have shifted our lives and transformed how we move through the world. And that was my profound takeaway, was just the ability to persist. And by persisting, you find meaning and purpose and expansion and gratitude because of that. So that's what I wanted to share with everybody this morning. So thank you. Thank you. Susie, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Really, really beautiful stuff.
Thank you, Kate. Who else would like to share? I can't see everyone, so just go ahead and unmute yourself.
Thank you. I have a lovely group, and someone mentioned the current administration and how challenging it is. And I said it's been a great time of learning, which comes with growing pains, and that I could look at it now as a lucky break as well, because more conversations are being had. People are talking about some really difficult things that, at least in my experience and in my lifetime, I wasn't having these conversations prior. So it was nice to look at this challenging time as a lucky break. So thank you.
Thank you, Annette.
Who else would like to share?
Hi, my name is Joe. I'm a newcomer.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. My lucky break is that I am a newcomer, and I got to be in a breakout room with two other newcomers who were from different parts of the country. We all lead different lives. We're quite different people, and yet we experienced a sameness in a very, very strong, intensely strong way. So I could feel the magic of what this work is here. And actually, it isn't work in the end. It's an affirmation of the most beautiful part of ourselves. So I'm feeling very, very lucky and blessed. What a lovely chance encounter to experience connection.
Yeah. Wonderful.
And that's it.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Who else would like to share?
I'd like to share. First of all, I'd like to thank Susie for sharing her story so eloquently, and I really appreciate that. Our group was a very diverse group, and what I found very interesting throughout our conversation was our very different perspectives, and yet how we could, you know, listen to each other. And I also realized, you think of the idea or concept of a lucky break, that is so subjective, you know, and it's, you know, the same situation, same type of situation can be so different for different people. And so that was a good reminder of that no matter what and how we look at things, we can all, you know, listen and have respect. And I, you know, that's in my prayers every day, that be what happens in the larger world. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mindy, can you unmute yourself?
Yeah. What I wanted to ask Susie, is this: your challenges were intense, and you've handled them in an extraordinary way, which empowers us all, really. But I'm curious as to how your siblings helped you in these times of difficulty, how their lives might have shifted a bit, and your mom as well, to see one of her beloved children go through these sequences of, you know, one on top of the other, almost medical challenges and also your divorce and so on. How did their lives change in any way from this? If you could reflect on this.
I would say that we've come together through all of the challenges. I lost my brother and a sister in the midst of all this that I didn't even share. Both unexpected, and my sister had an absolutely horrific 2-year medical horror story. And each time our family has come together closer, my other sisters and I have experienced such, you know, intimate, profound, emotional, raw circumstances together, that I think we found a love that we, I think we may never have had that not happened.
And how did your mom handle this?
Oh my gosh, my mom is amazing. And she lives alone in Michigan, and her kids all live on the West Coast. She just can't leave there because she's so famous. Wherever she goes, she's taught, you know, 3 generations of kids. And she is one tough lady, you know, living alone, 87. She volunteered in the Israeli army every year for 30 years and like just stopped doing that a year or so ago. She's become really resilient too. After being kind of more of an innocent, childlike person, she's grown in her own resilience, I would say. And one of my sisters is here right now too, Nancy Cohen Vardy. And that's the kind of, hi, ma'am. She just waved. That is just a benefit from, you know, growing up in this family of love that was so rare and wonderful.
Thank you. Kendra, you unmuted. Did you want to share something?
I was just going to say in our group, we, as other speakers have said, we shared about tribulations and trials that we have come through, and all focused on the gratitude to those who helped us and cared for us, and I didn't hear any bitterness at all about it. It was an uplifting, positive story from each person. So I appreciated that.
Wonderful. We probably have time for one more quick share if anyone has something that they'd like to. Cheryl?
Just very quickly, I want to thank Susie so much. Your positive attitude is just uplifting, and just the whole thing about how much stronger we are than we think we are and how much we can get through in life is just remarkable to me always. So that's all I want to say. And I'm very grateful to all of you and for having this wonderful group. And I love the group I was in too. It's amazing how close you can feel in how long, 30 seconds. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Cheryl. All right, well, we'll start to wrap it up. I'm putting several links in the chat. First, the mission of the Peace Alliance is to empower civic action for a culture of peace. And our link is there. Also, the podcasts, all of the Hope Story Circles and our monthly national calls and the other things are on our Peace On podcast channel, which can be found at Podbean or Apple. You can link to it from our website. We have an initiative to condemn election violence. In the event election violence begins to surface, this initiative is to promote a peaceful response to the election. And if you take the action, it will be sent to all of your both state and federal elected officials. We also have an initiative, the Blueprint for Peace. It's a major initiative to make peace and nonviolence an effective organizing principle in federal, state, and local government policy. So you may sign that petition as well. And we are a small nonprofit. We appreciate donations of any size. So the donation link is there. And also our calendar of events link. So that's where we publicize any of the calls or Hope Story Circles or any other things that we're doing. So feel free to take a look and come join us whenever you can. We'd love to have you back. And now, Liz, Yelena, do you want to wrap it up?
Can I just say one thing, Liz, that I'm so sorry if you couldn't hear me during the meditation. It was something with my microphone. So it was not on your end. It's totally on my end. And I hope you took that time to pause. And I thank you all for being here.
Thanks, Yelena.
So hi, everybody. As always, I want to thank my beautiful partners, Yelena and Terry, who hold this space so wonderfully. And Susie, thank you for your story. The one thing that came up for me that I think may be the important takeaway I'm having is I used a similar idea with my own children. You know, I raised my kids on the Harry Potter world. And in the second Harry Potter book, I think it's the second one, Ron breaks his wand. And it leads to all of these disasters through the whole story where everything goes wrong for him. And he thinks it's the worst thing that happened. And spoiler alert, at the end, the fact that his wand always backfires ends up kind of saving his life and saving the story. And I always used to say to my kids when they don't, when they think things are going terribly, I said, just remember Ron's wand. You don't know how it's going to end up. You don't know how it's going to end up. But one of the things I was thinking, I want to connect an idea that happened in the before conversation. Someone brought up the Elders Action Network, which I had never heard of. So I was like looking that up on my break. And I think the power of our stories and why we need to keep telling our stories is especially for younger people. They sometimes don't know they can make it through something because they never have, right? And so I think the power of our stories and sharing our stories, especially as we get older and have all these experiences, is it's really huge to let people know that you can make it through and that there's, you know, and we all define our tragedies differently, right? I love that that came up in the groups. But I think that's the power of storytelling. And Susie, that's what I'm really taking away. Your smile is so powerful. And this idea that you can be through what you can be through, I'm gonna really share your stories and kind of share this podcast. And as I walk through my week this week, what I'm going to be focused on now is looking for the lucky breaks, right? I like that Net brought to the kind of social and systemic level and how closely we can connect our personal with the systemic. And so I'm really thankful for all of your stories. I'm thankful for what you share. And I urge, especially those of us who are kind of hitting that elder's age, to continue to share our stories, especially intergenerationally, in a way that we can lift up people who maybe haven't had that experience of getting through as much as other people did. So again, I always want to thank you. Thank you guys for being here. And the people who are new to our call, I hope you continue to join us. We're really excited about this and really grateful for your presence. So have a beautiful week, everyone. And I hope everyone has a safe, and those of you who are in the United States and celebrate, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I'm thankful for all of you in my life.
And just to note,
thank you.
We will not have a Hope Story Circle next Saturday before the Thanksgiving holiday. So 2 weeks we'll return, but next Saturday, no Hope Story Circle.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you all, everybody.
Say goodbye.
Thank you. Stay safe.
Thanks, Susie.
Yep. Blessings and peace.
Have a good Thanksgiving, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.